food. And verse number 10 says, "But these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." This is one of the only times that you hear the name Cain mentioned in the New Testament. We'll look at the mentionings of his name throughout the Bible. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's 21 times that he's mentioned in the Scripture. 17 of those times are found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. And, of course, one that I just read to you in the book of Jude. Genesis, chapter number 4. Stand with us, if you would, please. And out of respect for the Word of the Lord, let's read together text verses this morning with the subject matter being this: the way of Cain. Verse number 1, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy blood, by thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, let's pray together. Father, help us now in the moments that we have together. May they be beneficial and fruitful. May they be profitable. May there not just be a hearing of the word, but then may there be action and application, which brings us to being doers of the word. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be able to speak through thy Spirit today and not of self. I pray that you would allow me the opportunity to present your word to this body of people today in a way that would be pleasing to you. And I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. Genesis is the book of the very beginnings. The beginning of the universe, the beginning of the world, the beginning of the sun was not this morning, as some of you may think. We haven't seen it in a while, but today's not the beginning of it. The moon and the stars and all of those things that God had created, all of the plant life, the human life. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are known as the chapters of first things. We find the first man, the first woman. We find the first marriage. We have the first children, the first home. We see the first death. The first sacrifices are offered. The first worship is given. The first murder. The first curses. All in these. And in this chapter, we're looking sort of at the first family in this passage. In Cain today, as we read through this, I see the portrait of most all in this room. And there are two categories of people in this room. There are those who are saved and there are those who are unsaved. The potential is there. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25 says this: there is a way that seemeth right. Now, from the book of Jude in verse 11, and that is a book of apostasy and fakes and faults, in difference to the book of First, he says his testimony of Cain is that they have gone in the way of Cain. And the psalmist said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the Bible also is faithful to us and gives us the outcome of that and said it may seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this describes the life of all of those who live without faith. This describes the life of those who live without Christ. They have a way of life, but their way of life is not the right way of life. Now, the Bible calls it in the book of Jude again, the way of Cain. Now, the characteristics of all those who refuse to live according to God's will are here as well. So, the Scripture is applicable to both the saved and the unsaved. Now, I want us to explore a little bit this way of Cain, if we may, this morning. The first we find in the verse 1 through verse 5 that we read just a moment ago. It's characterized, this way of Cain. What is that way? Now, there's discrepancies of ways in our human life. A number of years ago, we were having an activity with a bunch of kids at our house. And we had someone call and say, I need directions to your house. We started to give directions. They said, no, I'll just rely on my GPS to get there. Now, here's what we've learned about our house. If you're coming to our house, take written directions. Listen, it's really not hard. There's actually only one turn out of the park, one turn out of the parking lot and one turn of the stoplight. It's not hard. This particular mother was over in the Verina area. And if I were in Verina going to my house, I would hit 295 and come around and get off over at the exit. It's called the airport exit, but it's going away. And I'd hook around over there to Crown Hill and be there. Or I'd come to Creighton, go down Creighton, go to Cold Harbor, turn right, and I'm going to be there. Her GPS told her to go back to Laburnum, all the way up Laburnum to 360. And then to turn right on 360 and go to West Store. And then to turn right at West Store onto McClellan and come, I think, it's 5 or 6 more miles down and turn right on Parsley's Mill, I believe it is, and then come up to my house. Listen, about an hour and 20 minutes later, she finally got to our house. Should have been a 10 or 12 minute drive. That her GPS had a way, but it wasn't the way. It wasn't the best way. Now notice it says there is a way that seemeth, and there is a way of Cain. So we need to examine what the way is. We find, first of all, in this verse 1 through verse number 5, it's characterized as a way of an unbelieving heart. And this is applicable to saved and lost. There are people that need to put their faith and trust in Christ, but they have an unbelieving heart. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, there's a promise to us, thou shalt be saved. That's the promise. Now, when we're looking at this unbelieving faith, the chapter begins with a picture of hope. Let me give the description of that hope. When Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them a promise of redemption. The plan was set in place for a child to come, which would be the Christ child. And from that time forward, every parent was expecting and excited about the opportunity of the Christ child being born through their lineage. So here Adam and Eve are. They have no daily fellowship with God anymore in the garden like there had been. They'd been cast out of the perfect place for them. And now the Bible says that Adam knew Eve, and I don't know if I can get stuck here today, but there's more to that than just a physical knowing. Now let's grab this morning. It's important. It says that Adam knew Eve, and we know. We're all people that I believe are intelligent and mature enough to know exactly what that meant. They went through the physical process of conception of a child. But it's far more than that. Let me say this. A marriage is far more than that. A home is far more than that. Adam knew Eve. Listen, he knew more than just the physical. He knew her. He knew her mind. He knew her heart. He understood who she was. There's more. Listen, there's more to love than the royal wedding. And I, you say, did you watch it? Pieces of it. I watched as he lifted the veil up. And I watched as you could read the words of his mouth when he told her, "You are so beautiful." And then the queen was there. And in my imagination, I imagined him lifting the veil of the queen. Would he have said the same thing? Who knows? The media says they're in love. Can I tell you something? They may be in what the world calls love, and I'm not doubting their love for one another, but I'll promise you this from experience. They think they know each other. They just think they know each other. Now, I'm wondering how they met. I'm wondering where he was that he came in contact with her. I'm wondering all sorts of those things. That'll all come out eventually. I don't know that I'll read it or watch it or whatever, but it'll all come out. I'll hear about it. Somebody tell me about it, please. But they love each other. Now, you come back, and I watched. I told Sonia last night. I said, look at, what's his dad's name? Prince Charles. Prince Charles. I said, man, he got old quick. I remember when he and I got married. And I watched him walk this bride up the rest of the aisle. He's great. Man, he got old in a hurry. And we know that different things happen through the passage of time. But every one of us here who have the privilege and honor of having married the right one know this. You know more about him today than you did the day you got married. And here's the beauty of marriage. When you know somebody, even when things change, the love is still there. The world's love is this. You love them because they're beautiful, and you replace them when you think they're not. But real love never changes. Long enough here. And he knew her, and she conceived. When we're looking at this, we find that they're eking out a living. They're eking out work. They're having to work to eat. And she conceived. There's a commitment that is shown here. Like billions of others since that time, can you imagine, as that baby began to kick within her womb? Can you imagine when, for the first time, she said, "Adam, come over here and put your hand on my stomach." And he put his hand on her little belly there. And he felt that child move within her. And a different day dawned because both of them sense hope. Hope that had been crushed by sin. And she, they name him Cain. And notice what she says. I have gotten a man from God. God has given this to us. Now Eve gives glory for the new baby and says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then she saw this as a time of divine blessing. But notice on the heels of that what is said. And I suggest to you this morning, there is a possibility that Cain and Abel were twins. Now, I'm over here because you know this is a what? Thought. This is not in Scripture. It's a possibility that they're twins. Notice it doesn't talk about the conception with Cain. It says that he knew her and Cain was born. He knew her and Abel was born. But there is no decisive. So some believe that there's a possibility that these two were twins. And we see twins later in the Bible that have a lot of the same characteristics that these two have. So the potential, the possibility is there. It doesn't have any doctrinal difference. It's just something to consider along the way. But when Abel is born, do you know what Abel means? Breath. Vapor or perishable. I have gotten a man from the Lord and perishable. And the reality is she and Adam had no clue what a vapor Abel's life would be. These two, notice it talks about the process of time. They begin to grow. They begin to bring joy and laughter and hope for tomorrow into the home. They grew up in the same home. They grew up with the same parents. They grew up with the same instructions. They grew up with the same things in life, the same experiences. But isn't it amazing how differently they emerge? It's amazing to look at the three boys we have, all very close to the same things, and all three of them have a different personality to them. They both chose honorable vocations. Cain followed in Adam's footsteps, and he's a farmer, he's a tiller. And Abel becomes a shepherd. That's going to become important a little bit later on as we look at the way of Cain. Can you imagine with me this wonderful moment what kind of preachers Adam and Eve were to their kids? Can you imagine them sitting down with Cain and Abel and saying, there was a day. Can you imagine this? When Cain and Abel said, hey, what's that angel over there with that sword? And there's a path that goes that way. We want to know what's up in there. And Adam and Eve set them down and they began to tell them of the past and the garden. And the walks with God in the cool of the evening. And what God had done for them. And they could talk about when God confronted their sin. And how God had made a covering for their sin. And God had given them a promise. Well, they could be tremendous preachers. We see all of that in the book of Genesis, beginning about chapter 3, verse 21, and on from there. I can imagine that they share all of that. I imagine they shared in the religious instruction of how to be a man and how to be a Christian. I imagine Adam trained them in the things that they were to do and how they were supposed to be children of God. Verse 3 and 4, Cain and Abel come before God. They've reached that time. The time had come. The process had come. And it can no longer, listen now, it can no longer be inherited faith. It can no longer be Adam and Eve. It has to be mine. And so the day has come that Cain and Abel are to offer their own sacrifices. And as they come to offer their own sacrifices, notice the scripture says that God had respect. That meant he looked upon it with approval. God had respect unto Abel's. Why? Because it was what God had asked for. It's what God had commanded. It's what God had given. And that was Abel's sacrifice. But Cain, he brought fruit of the ground. And Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. And the Bible says, and the fat thereof. And the question comes up then, what's the difference? What is the difference? I want to suggest to you something here this morning. Yes, we always talk about it being a blood offering. But the further I read in Scripture, it's not just about the blood. Cain's offering was not rejected just because it wasn't blood. Now, if you could this morning, we could go back to the book of Leviticus. I recommend chapter 3. We could go to the book of Nehemiah and chapter number 10. And I think it's about verse 25 or 30 and forward. And you read about other sacrifices. We've not ever really emphasized what these other sacrifices were, but they were other food sacrifices. In fact, in Nehemiah, it calls it grain sacrifice and food sacrifice. So if God was acceptable in the Levitical law, and if he's accepting in the book of Nehemiah the other sacrifice, I'm here to say it's Cain was not rejected just because it was blood. It was the unbelieving spirit that we see in Cain. In the Garden of Eden, God had established a pattern for approaching. And we never see him change that pattern. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 9, verse number 22, it says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding blood, there's no remission of sin." We see this in Genesis 3:21. That was in the Garden of Eden. We see it in Egypt when Moses is dealing with the children of Israel in Exodus 12. We see this in the history of Egypt. As the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, we see the blood issue. And we see it all culminates at Calvary with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something deeper taking place here. Look at verse number 4. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat there." Firstling suggests this, the very best. The very best. The phrase "and the fat thereof" speaks of very careful preparation. It's an in-depth thing. It's an amazing thing to read through the book of Leviticus and how the sacrifice was to be prepared and how it was to be consumed. And the Bible even gets so specific to talk about the kidneys, the liver, the caul, the fat. All of these things are spoken of in regard to the sacrifices. But notice it says that Cain chose of the firstlings the best and the fat thereof. Abel carefully selected the best animal that he had. He took time to prepare and he brought it before the Lord and he offered it by faith. And it appears that Abel went out of his way to give an offering that was pleasing to God. Abel's sacrifice said, "I believe God." Cain's sacrifice, the issue was more than blood. Cain's sacrifice is saying, I don't believe. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, it says this of Abel. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet now speaketh." His testimony continues on. Cain, on the other hand, his sacrifice was that he brought fruit. There's no evidence. The scripture, if you read the scripture just as it is, there is no evidence of faith at all in Cain's offering. There is no evidence of preparation that is given. And God's word is very specific when it gives things out. Cain's offering said, "I know what you said, but here's what I want to do." And because of that, he's rejected. God rejected both Cain and his offering. I want you to notice it's characterized by an unbelieving heart, but the way of Cain is also characterized by an unrepentant heart. Notice that when he saw that his offering was not accepted, he was wroth. That's angry. And there's a second thing that the scripture says, that his countenance fell. It's amazing to watch people who get contrary. Their countenance changes. Their visible outside countenance changes. And the Bible says that Cain was wroth, he was angry, and you could tell it by the look on his face. His countenance fell. His demeanor changed. Verse number 5, that word wroth, he was wroth. That means to burn with hot anger or jealousy. Now in verse number 7, God tells Cain in verse number 7, he simply says, just do what's right. You know what has been said. It has been laid out for you. All you have to do is what is right. God is calling him to change his heart toward the things of God. Here's what God wants of Cain. God wants Cain to repent. That's what he wants of him. He wants him to repent of his attitude. And so when we read from Jude verse 11, and it said the way of Cain, the way of Cain has a lot to do with the heart, which is exposed by the attitude. God wants Cain to repent of his attitude toward him. God is looking to produce a change in the heart of Cain. He didn't just reject the sacrifice and Cain to abandon them. He gives him the opportunity. But he's characterized by an unrepentant heart. In Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all ye had your conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of disobedience." There's that certain nature to us. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, John's writing, he said, "You're your father, the devil." When I met Doris Mancini's brother this week, I wouldn't have known him in the world. But the longer I talked with him, and I looked right here, they looked the same. And he said to me, "We both have the Mancini eyes." How many of you have ever said, somebody said, "Oh, they, you know, a baby's born, and who does this baby look like?" Now notice what John says. "You are of your father, the devil." Boy, there's an accusation. You have the appearance of, you have the attitude of your father, the devil, and the lust thereof, your father will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. He speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. I will say this today, if you're lost, sin will consume you. And Cain became consumed with an unrepentant spirit. He was consumed with an unbelieving heart. The third thing that I find in verse 8 through 10 is he's characterized by an unbelieving heart, an unrepentant heart, but now an ungodly heart. The condition of the heart determined the course of life for him. And let me say this, whether you're in this room saved or lost, the course of life is determined by your heart. And the heart comes, from the heart comes the attitude. From the heart come the words. Verse 8 tells us that Cain murdered his brother. How did he kill him? You say, "Well, preacher, the Bible doesn't say how he killed him." Let me give you thoughts, consideration, just using the scripture for some evidence. You know, a lot of times evidence doesn't jump out at you. You have to look for it. When Cain had killed Abel and God approached him, God said that Abel's blood spoke to him. This is the first murder. The only thing that Cain had known of death so far was the sacrifice. And the way of sacrifice was the cutting of the throat. So I suggest a thought to you this morning, just from some evidence of Scripture, when Christ says in His words, when God says in His words, "Your brother's blood cries out from the earth," it's highly possible that the only way that Cain knew to get rid of his brother was through cutting his throat. Verse 8 tells us that Cain murdered his brother. Back in verse number 5, the Bible says that Cain was angered by God's rejection. But he couldn't kill God. There are a lot of people that get mad at God and take it out on man. And there was nothing that Cain said. Abel hadn't done anything to Cain. It was God who rejected Cain and God who rejected the sacrifice. And when it says that he was wroth, it wasn't necessarily that he was wroth at Abel. He's angry at God, but he can't touch God. And he can't do anything against God. And so the closest thing that his nature knows to do is to strike at God's accepted. And that's what he does. And Cain's hatred of God manifested itself in his hatred of Abel. Now in verse number 9, God comes to Cain and he asks him about his whereabouts. Let's look at these verses for a moment. He says to him, "Where's your brother?" Verse number 9, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Now notice the response, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" There's a lot more to those words than we read them. One, there's a lie. "I know not." He knew good and well where he was. And so first, there's a lie. He knew where he was. But amazing thing, let's back up a little bit and read the question. When God asked him where his brother is, this is a question that now God is repeating. This is sort of a family history. Because when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves behind the fig leaves, and for fear they hid themselves, when God showed up in the garden, remember what the scripture says? "Where art thou?" God already knew. And when God asked Cain where his brother was, God already knew. What he was looking for was confession. And what he didn't get was confession. "I know not." That's a lie. Look at the second thing. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, somebody tell me again what Abel did for a living. He's a sheep herder, a shepherd. "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's shepherd?" And he said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, God being, "What hast thou done?" Cain answered with a lie. Cain said, "I know not." He says, "Am I a keeper of the sheep? I'm not his shepherd. He's not my responsibility." Cain is saying to God, "Since you love him so much, why don't you keep up?" Look at the attitude. Look at the spirit. The condition of the heart determines the course of life. And that's why, let me state this, that's why there are a lot of pathetic Christians in this world today. Because they have the attitude of Cain. Remember what Jude said? They have followed the way of Cain. If you go back and read both of those scriptures again, they talked about things they had no idea about. And he goes on and said, they followed the way of Cain. Their attitude, their disposition. Again, Proverbs in chapter number 4, verse number 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I read to you from the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. It says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." And then on to chapter 15 of the same book, Matthew, and Jesus said, "Are ye also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." Now, what are we looking at? We're looking at what's come out of Cain's mouth. Lies. When he knows the truth. Accusations. trying to put the responsibility on God Himself. Now, what does your life say then about our heart condition? What does our life say about our heart condition? An unbelieving heart, an unrepentant heart, an ungodly heart, all of those things are seen. Verse 11 through verse number 13 chronicle the rest of the tragic story of Cain. And Cain, now because of his heart and because of his way, is going to be punished. God is going to punish him. The ground is going to be cursed. Just like the ground was cursed with his father Adam. And verse number 13, Cain recognized the severity of his punishment. He's going to pay a high price for his sins every day of living in the world. He is going to be banished from his home and from his family. He's going to be consigned to a desperate existence. And the name of Cain will no longer be a positive testimony. 20 times mentioned in Scripture. 17 in the verses that we read in the book of Genesis. And never again do you hear Cain's name in a positive way. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. An interesting study on how many times the Scripture uses the phrase the way. And for this time this morning, I just wanted us to see what the way of Cain was. If Jude said, these people have followed the way of Cain, what is the way of Cain? And to find the way of Cain, you have to examine his heart and his attitude and his actions that proceed forth from that. Now, let me ask you a question. You're here today. You're one of two categories of people. Honestly, you're one of two categories of people. Saved or lost. Saved and forgiven. Unsaved, unforgiven. Saved, redeemed. Purchased. Unsaved, lack of redemption. However, your price has already been paid. Your debt has already been taken care of. Your freedom is yours. You just have not received it yet. And yes, you can be here today, be lost, and be in the way of Cain. But you can be here today, redeemed and forgiven, and still be stuck in the way of Cain with a horrible heart issue. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you have to examine where you are. And you have